Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hey, welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up that stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing just peachy keen, buddy.
Awesome.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, it's rain, sleet, snow, hail, you know, the whole nine yards. It's that time of year. Just makes me so happy.
Yeah. Our vacation is somewhat of a distant memory now.
Yeah, can you believe it's been a month?
No, I can't. I was trying to hold on to it as long as I could, but unfortunately, the real world has crept back in, and it's like I never went.
Nah, I hear you, dude. I'm just sad. I mean, it's like, but the thing of it, I mean, I'm kind of happy because it's Valentine's Day.
Yo,
hello. I'm trying to get rid of the whole winter, but no, Thanksgiving's coming up. We got family coming in and all, and I'm looking forward to that. And it was just Mickey Mouse's birthday the other day, so happy birthday, Mickey.
Yeah, he was all over the place.
Absolutely. And then, you know, we got family coming in from North Carolina and my brother-in-law and godson coming over, which I don't know if I'm too happy about, but I'm just kidding. But no, we got the family coming in, and this time last year I was getting ready for my surgery, so that's a positive. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to look at – I'm happy this year. Happier this year than I was last winter. So.
No, and that's true. I mean, from now until, you know – the new year, it's, you know, things are kind of hectic and work and at home and family and friends, like you were just saying. But after that, you know, January 2nd, the cold reality comes in for us up here in the Northeast, that we have, you know, a good solid 3 months of cold, snowy, wet, nasty weather, and that can be a bit much. But at least we have the holidays to kind of keep our spirits up right now.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm looking forward to this year. We got the fireplace fixed. I'm looking forward to having a roaring fire and just having some holiday fun with the family. And we were blessed enough then to all go down there together. So, and we still have a lot of memories to talk about. We've kind of been a little chintzy on talking about our trip as much as I thought we would.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day, and you know, we want to savor every morsel, and we've had so much news to cover and different things since we've gotten back that we haven't really done a full-out trip report, but we probably should get heavy into that fairly soon so we can make sure that we capture all those great memories that we had.
Absolutely. We got to do, you know, the different restaurants we ate at, because we ate at a lot of places. And what I think we'll do is, like you did Paradiso 37, I did Marimoto, and I think we'll do one of our little dining reviews on each of them. Like, you could tell us what you had, and we'll bring up the menu for Paradiso 37.
Yep.
And then I'll give my input like I normally do, what I would have liked to have had. Did you try it? You know what I mean? And we'll kind of a restaurant review plus a dining report from the two restaurants. I think it'll be a good deal.
Yeah, I enjoy doing those, and the listeners seem to like them as well. So, yeah, we should do that.
Absolutely. And, yeah, because we both ate at some really good places. And then Bob has the Harambe Market coming out for us on It's All in WDW this week. So make sure you head over to our website. We really appreciate you guys. The traffic has been great over there. We love your participation in our polls. It's really cool. Even though you guys are wrong, I still like you going over there. I mean, both times my restaurant has been defeated. I don't know what the problem is here.
Yeah, it seems to be turning out that way lately. But you'll get yours. You'll come on out on top on some other poll, I'm sure.
Yeah, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah, I'm sure mine would be wrong. It would start working right when I'm ready to be right. But no, you know, Yak and Yeti lost at the Animal Kingdom, and Brown Derby lost at the Studios. But what I was shocked about that then was that Sci-fi came in second. How out of touch
are we? Well, I think it's the same thing that we had a problem with when we were talking about that last week. Some people are rating it for the ambiance, and some people are rating it for the food quality. And depending on your perspective, that changed the results, because I don't think anybody would argue, like even myself, I wrote this on the Facebook to Bob. If you've never eaten at Brown Derby, you probably didn't vote for it, even though I think it's safe to say that it's the best food in that park, if not all over Disney property. It's up there in the top three. So it's not fair that the, in my view, it's not fair to the Brown Derby that, you know, 50's Primetime, as good as it is, it's comfort food, which, you know, what you're eating over at the Brown Derby is, you know, highfalutin food, if you will. So, you know, it just depends on how you view your, you know, how you rated your restaurants, and was it ambiance, was it food quality, or, like I said, I'm willing to bet that a lot of people that voted in that poll probably have never eaten at the Brown Derby.
Yeah, well, I kind of like to call it Carmen
cuisine. Carmen cuisine, yeah.
The highfalutin stuff. But, you know, but I'm happy. I mean, we really appreciate you guys participating in the polls. It was awesome. It was nice to see me lose, just to see the participation in it. And Bob really likes your comments, so and you can pick on Bob all you want. So head on over to It's All in WDW and check out the great job he does. He's going to talk about our sawdust sausage next week at the Harambe Marketplace.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And as we've already cited on the podcast here, that the food was let's just call it questionable, and I'm sure Bob will get into it in a little more detail. And obviously, with pictures, you guys can see what we were talking about a little bit better. So I'm looking forward to that story this week.
No, we had a good time telling him about it,
yeah,
didn't we, Dan?
Yeah.
And we both love the market, the atmosphere. So let's not go like we're not really trashing the place, but in the grand scheme of things, I'm headed other places next. We both wish we'd have tried Tiffin's.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. And you know, or even got something different there. I know. I think John mentioned that the ribs were pretty good, and both of us passed them by. So maybe if we do decide to grab something. I guess that's what I'd say. It's so convenient, kind of in the center of the park, and you almost have to travel by it or through it in order to get to some of the other attractions. So that's what it's got going for it. It's just very convenient, and you're in and out. I mean, it's quick serve is the right description of that, because you just roll up to one of those windows, and you have your food pretty quickly, and you can be on your way, and not have to go in and check in and get seated and do some of those things that you got to do at some of the other restaurants. So it does have that location, and the theming is beautiful for that marketplace.
Well, that's why I'm a sissy boy, though. Like, I really wanted the ribs, but I don't – I've said this a million times. I don't want to deal with ribs. I don't want to get messy.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't want to have 75 napkins on the – you know, I mean, like, if it's at my house, like, I made them here, or – if that's all I'm doing, I sit down. But out there, counter service outside, I just don't feel like the whole mess.
You know how it is. Sure enough, you're going to bite into one of those ribs, and some sauce is going to come squirting off under your shirt, and then you'll be, I know exactly what you mean. It's just not a good theme park food to eat when you got to be out in public for the rest of the day with no change of clothes. And I know what you mean. That can not be good.
Yeah, I know. Everybody can pick on me. I just and you feel sticky. I just don't want that whole, especially at lunchtime. Maybe at the end of the day, 7, 8 o'clock, if you're at the resort and you can head back to your room, I wouldn't mind it. But the ones, like I said, we had the ones at Yak and Yeti, but the thing of it is you're at a sit-down restaurant with its own private bathroom.
Right.
It's like there you got to roam around the corner to go clean. You know what I mean? I just don't want the whole aggravation of eating ribs is a event to me.
Right.
It isn't quick to me, is the way
right.
I want to put it.
And on the same token, you probably wouldn't eat like crabs or something where you have to smash up with a hammer or use one of the claw things there. I mean, right, there's a time and place for that, and it probably isn't in the middle of the day at a theme park, right?
No, exactly. I'm a neat freak, and I don't want to deal with that. But it is the market is beautiful. They did a great job on it. It was different than we both thought it was, but Bob will have that in the article.
Yeah.
So head over there and enjoy it. And Bob, you're doing a wonderful job for us at It's All in WDW. And go check out our website. We're really enjoying it. There's there's more exciting things to come to it. That's what I'm excited about. We're just going to keep adding to it. We're going to make Bob work so hard over there.
Yeah. Right, yeah, Dan? Absolutely.
So we're looking forward to it, guys. We're looking forward to interacting with you guys over there. So, Dan, there's like 8 million news stories. Are you ready to get into them before this is even a longer show than normal? And then, like, our buddies over at the Mickey Dudes, did you see they were picking up?
I didn't. You were telling me about it the other day. I haven't had a chance to listen yet, but, yeah, I guess they were picking on us.
Yeah, let me see. I'm saying see. I do know my senses, guys, before you get me worked. Did you hear they were picking on us on their show? But anyway, they were doing a really good show. They were talking about transportation and stuff like that, and they ended up they got all sidetracked, and they said, "Oh, it's like we're over at the Main Street Podcast. We got sidetracked." Yeah.
Well, that's our MO, and that's okay. We like to just kind of go on the fly here, and wherever the conversation takes us, as long as we're talking Disney for the most part, that's all good.
Yeah, we always get off topic. That's what we should do. WDW Main Street, off topic. It's our new
T-shirt. Yeah, there's plenty of other shows out there that are regimented and, you know, stick to the script, and that's fine. You know, there's a place in the Disney podcast community for that, but we tend to just have a conversation here at the bar, and wherever it brings us, it brings us.
Yeah, and usually the nighttime shows, the more we drink at the bar, the more off-topic we get. But that's what I love about our show. But, nah, they were being kind. They were actually being really nice to us. But it's always fun to have a little ribbing. And the sad part is we never pick on Dave or Pat.
I know.
We're always so nice to them, too. You know,
that's okay.
And Greg, we are always nice to Greg, though. Greg runs the show. Thank God those Dave and Pat should... I know they can't give Greg enough praise because he makes them two sound good. I know he does.
Yeah.
So let's get into the news. Thanks to our buddies over there at the Mickey Dudes. You know, any news is good news, right? Any publicity is good publicity. So thanks, guys, for picking on us. We really appreciate it.
Them guys do a great job. And, Pat was listening to our show for a while before he did his show. So we kind of feel like they're kind of a... you know, not a spinoff of us, but at least they, in part, came from our show. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, they're friends of ours.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the other mafioso family in the Disney podcast community. Yeah. So let's get into the news, buddy, before we're here for 8 hours and get picked on even more.
Yeah, it looks like this first story, we have to say we were right again, but a new mission coming to Star Tours. The adventure continues. Walt Disney Parks and Resorts Chairman Bob Chapek today announced that a new adventure is coming to Star Tours, the Adventure Continues attraction. Walt Disney Imagineering and Lucasfilm teams are currently in production to add a new mission to the attraction based on elements from Star Wars Episode 8. Star Wars Episode 8 will be the second installment in the Star Wars sequel trilogy following Star Wars, The Force Awakens, due to release in December of 2017. So I think we were saying on one of our recent shows that, you know, how easy it is to change out the movie, and they should and could, add or, you know, put new sequences in there. And here we go. They're going to actually do that fairly soon.
Yeah, you might think we know something like Lou, but we don't.
Right.
We just speculate, and it seems our speculations come true more than not. I'm happy about that.
I think we know how Disney thinks for the most part. Once in a while, they throw us a curveball, but for the most part, we're usually pretty close to what actually happens.
No, I was happy to hear this, though, because that makes it the rideability better. I mean, you want to just keep going on and on to catch the different shows. I don't know. I'm hoping one of these days that down the road that we talked about this before, I wouldn't mind if they would remaster the original film on Soarin' and every once in a while toss it in there.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And I think I said this when we talked about it. I'm hoping they keep it all in the can, and it's some anniversary of the park, whether it's, 45 years or 50, or, that they can roll that out and show some classic Soarin' or whatever they're going to call it at the time.
Well, if they brought back Michael Jackson, I'm sure they could bring back Soarin'.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if they brought back that thing, I don't know. And again, I like Mike. The show didn't do anything for me. And here I go off the beaten path again.
That's
anyway.
I enjoyed it more than you did, but we move on. Let's see.
It was okay, but But I hope they do bring more and more. I wouldn't even mind a 3 or 4 different shows at Soarin' eventually. I think that would be awesome. Even though you did finally, on the last trip, I don't think we talked about this, you did get to see
Oh, it was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I can't wait to get back on it because I was trying to look at everything and take it all in. Actually, we wrote it twice, but it's so new. You're just trying to look at all areas of the screen and, you know, you try to follow it. And, I still got to see that probably a half a dozen more times until I'm totally up to speed and have it all, to memory like the other one. I mean, the other one I can visually, in my mind I can take the ride. You know, this one, I remember, lots of it, but I'm sure there's much of it I've forgotten because I just don't know it as well as the original.
Well, the thing was with the original was when the music would change,
yep.
I could close my eyes and know what
yep.
scene they were in. Like when they were riding horseback or when the helicopter was coming, like you
yep.
knew. And then know how it all of a sudden switched, we were hitting the waves on the long
sure.
beach, that music would change. Like I knew exactly where they were going. And then so it'll be awesome with the new movie when you can the music fits the
right.
scene, like when it gets to that point where you know where you are just by hearing the music or what part of the movie you're at. But I hope eventually they do multiple films for that, because I would love that. It would be great if it was like Star Tours where there was, because it would make you want to keep going on that ride even more than you already do.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the advantage to that technology. You know, we were talking about Toy Story Midway Mania, same thing. As technology changes, or if they want to change up the games, they have the ability to do that. Whereas some of the classic attractions, as much as we love them, Pirates, Haunted Mansion, by and large, you know, you're kind of stuck with those audio animatronics. And, you know, yeah, they added Johnny Depp and there's some things they can do, but, you know, pretty much you're stuck with that, you know, those sets of characters there. But, you know, these new attractions, Star Tours and, you know, Midway Mania and such, it's endless the amount of things they can do and change it and freshen it up without spending millions of dollars in infrastructure. It's once it's there, it's just a matter of the, the electronic piece of it changing out. And, you know, we say it's cheap. I mean, I'm sure it probably still costs millions of dollars, but not, $100 million. Maybe it costs them $5 million or whatever it is. So, in comparison, it's fairly cheap to do an upgrade with new movies on attractions like that.
Yeah, like you were saying, you get overlays like the Jingle Cruise over at the Jungle Cruise and stuff like that, which are cool. I mean, I'm happy even when they do that because it makes the rewrideability better because you want to see some. I mean, what they have to do is they got to put a Santa Claus hat on the Yeti to make me ride Expedition Everest again.
Yeah, there you go. That would be cool.
So that's what I'm hoping for.
Let's see what else we got here. New concept shows, shops, and restaurants of Pandora. Disney has today released 3 new pieces of concept art that the show Pandora, the World of Avatar's Restaurant and Shop, I'm going to kill this name. Satili Canteen will be the main restaurant in Pandora, the World of Avatar, and will feature Niave art and cultural items. At Wind Traders, travelers can find Niave cultural items, toys, science kits, and more. And then at Pongu Pungu will be a special drink location with the design that is as electric as expat owner. Pandora, the World of Avatar, will open in summer of 2017. Obviously, the listeners can't see these artist renderings, but they look pretty expansive and pretty cool. Don't you think?
Oh, dude, it looks phenomenal, and it's going to fit so well in the Animal Kingdom. It's ridiculous with the way these restaurants look, and I like the idea of how. Because did you peek through the fence when you
yes,
were there?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I peeked through the fence.
The road there, right by Tiffin's.
Tiffin's. Absolutely. I seen some contractors back there. I felt like they were giving me stink eye, but I really didn't care. But it was pretty cool. You could actually see a little bit in there, and it's like, now that they showed this other concept of the bridge and everything else, it kind of even, now what I seen even makes more sense.
Yeah, and I was going to say that we're going to get into it. You know, we basically just did Summer 17, but that bridge that they're showing, if you went on in the Nomad Lounge, it's actually covered with tarps right now, so you couldn't see I figured it would be an elaborate looking bridge, and by this artist rendering or picture, I can't tell which it is. It is a cool looking bridge, and when you're sitting out there on in the Nomad Lounge, that's the nice bridge you're going to be looking at.
No, it looks phenomenal. I cannot wait to go roaming through here. I mean, did you see the other den, the other story too of the Star Wars land that was right there? Did you see the concept art on that too?
Yeah, briefly. I looked through it this morning.
I mean, if you look at the concept art, and that's one of the other stories that's up here. I'm just continuing to put the two together. They have the concept art now of the different Star Wars lands at Disney Hollywood Studios. And, dude, if this even looks half as good as what they're showing in this concept art. I mean, the land will feature two signature rides, a thrilling battle experience, and an attraction to put guests behind the controls of one of the most recognizable ships in the galaxy, the Millennial Falcon, they're saying.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's so exciting. It's like all the stuff they just opened with Springs and everywhere else, and now you start seeing this concept art of Pandora and Star Wars land. Even though me and you aren't Star Wars nuts, these lands look incredible.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. And then you're talking about more restaurants and places to eat. What are we going to do?
Yeah, we may never zero out and say, okay, we've tried everything. It's just, I think it's going to be impossible, but we'll give it a shot.
Yeah, well, we're getting ready to do in a future show. We're going to do our living list, which is going to be different things throughout the parks. We're going to put it on our website. It's in the works, just so everybody knows. Me, John, Bob, and Dan are going to put all of our living list items, and as we do them over the next few trips, we're going to knock them off on the website. So, dude, we better get some of these things done on the living list before it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. We'll just never be able to catch up, but at least if we write it down or record it, it'll give us some, solid goals, and, we'll be more apt to get some of these things done when we get down there, because as we saw on this last trip, you're trying to stay true to doing some of your favorites and get to some places that you want to revisit, but see the new stuff and see friends and, trying to balance everything. It gets tough. I mean, not that we're complaining. You're at Disney World and whatever you do there is awesome. But, I would like to really focus in on some of these things that, I've been saying for years I'd do and get done. I mean, I shared with the listeners and with you in the last show, I did the Hollywood Studio, the Tower of Terror, gift store going in the outdoor there, like you suggested. And again, we talked about that for, I think, a couple of years off and on that I should do that, and I never did. But, that was that would have been on my living list had I not done it already. So stuff like that, maybe little minor things like that, all the way up into maybe doing an attraction you never did, or, overcoming some fears or other issues and just doing something, to just say, hey, at least I did it,
Well, something as simple as I want to get a haircut in a new barbershop location.
Yep, there you go.
Things like that. I mean, there are things that are very doable. They don't have to be crazy stuff either. Like, I got to eat a Victorian Albert's. It might be on there, but you know what I'm saying? That isn't as easy to do as going to get a haircut. But I don't know, Dan, with all these new things coming, I mean, our living lists are going to be pretty long. So, God, please keep us around a while so we can get to see all this stuff.
We need the time. Yeah, let's see here. Starbright Holidays drone show gets official start date and performance times. The much-talked-about Starbright Holidays and Intel collaboration is now confirmed to begin performances at Disney Springs on November 20th, 2016. Showtimes will be 7 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. with viewing areas alongside the lake on the west side, the landing, and marketplace. Starbright Holidays will continue nightly through to January 8th, 2016. And you can call Disney if you're interested in getting more information on these. And I would just add, it would seem to me that if you're staying at Saratoga Springs, Congress Park, you would probably have an equally good view, because you're just right on the other side of the waterway there. And I would think there's going to be guests all along the embankment there looking at this show once it starts.
And that's one of those things, like... it's a shame that I know you enjoy eating at a couple of the places over at Saratoga Springs, But wouldn't it be wonderful if they actually had a signature restaurant, like, on the water
Well,
there?
maybe that's, you know, put it out there. Maybe that's something to come if this stuff, you know, with the drone shows and whatever other shows that might come into Disney Springs going forward, and with all the restaurants and everything over on the other side, I could see them adding something. Where they would put it and how it would work, I don't know. But I think, you know, you've been making this point for a while now. You know, Saratoga Springs is going to become a happening place, and people are going to want to stay there and visit there. And if, you know, they don't have a signature restaurant, they're missing out. So maybe that's something we'll see in the future coming to the Springs, or for Saratoga Springs, rather.
Yeah, I know they have the paddock and all that stuff over there. I mean, it's a beautiful resort. I love the resort. I know you do, Dan. I mean, it's your home resort. But the thing of it is they I know that now, and we've said a million times, that Disney Springs is kind of like their boardwalk area.
Yep.
But it is a little bit of a hike. But what my point is I think wouldn't it be nice if a signature restaurant was there just to draw more people to that resort?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'd have no argument from me and others. I mean, that's one of the things. It's a massive resort, as you know, and it has its strengths and weaknesses. But certainly one of the weaknesses is the lack of, you know, sit-down dining. It's just the paddock there is, you know, it's a small little restaurant. It's good. I like it. But it's certainly not a signature restaurant or large enough to accommodate, you know, lots of guests.
Yeah, I like the pool table more than anything
else.
Yeah,
that is a little game room. That's nice there.
Yeah, but I don't know. I go back and forth on this subject. I say all the time that Disney Springs is basically their restaurant area, which it's true in a way, but I think it would be nice to say, let's go over to the Springs and eat at so-and-so. Eat at the Belmont.
Right.
There
hey.
You go. Name the restaurant the Belmont.
That would work with that theming, that's for sure.
You know, and it would be nice. I mean, because that's very distinguished. I'm going to the Belmont.
Yep.
Just as long as they don't serve horse there, it'll be okay.
Right, right.
But I'm pumped.
No horse.
No.
Let's see. Next story here. D-Living Home Decor Store opening in the Town Center at Disney Springs next week.
Maybe something we can afford,
yeah,
then.
You know, let's see what they're going to be selling. Disney has today announced that it will be opening a new home decor store in Disney Springs just ahead of the holidays. Called D-Living, the store will offer home decorations that change with each season. According to a post on the official Disney Parks blog, for the holiday season, this signature store will look and feel just like an inviting home on Christmas morning. In every room and around every corner, guests will discover a charming selection of Disney-inspired furnishings, housewares, and decor, sure to make every home magical and bright. D-Living opens on November 23rd and is located next to Uno D50, across from Sephora, in the Town Center of Disney Springs. So I actually read this yesterday on the Disney Parks blog. I was excited to hear. To me, I mean, I know it's his homewares, furnishings, and stuff like that, but all the stuff that we all complained about that the Disney stores got rid of when they went to just children, uh-huh. Sounds like this is going to kind of be a Disney store for adults. That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, well, it might even inspire my wife to let me have a little more Disney stuff in the house if it's cool.
Yeah,
stuff.
It seems like it's going to be, you know, subtle Disney, which is what your wife likes. At least that's what you've told us.
Yeah,
so I think you're going to get your wish here, because I don't get the sense this is going to be bright red and yellow Mickey Mouse type stuff. I think it's going to be, you know, woods and furnishings that you maybe have a little Mickey head carved into the headboard that's almost undetectable unless you're looking for it or something. I think this is going to be right up our alley for, you know, houseware and stuff like that to integrate into your house without being, you know, over the top Disney, if you know what I mean.
Exactly. That's how my wife likes it.
Now, this might be a store we're going to spend some money in. What do you think?
Exactly. And I got one of my early Christmas presents yesterday. Did you see the Mickey Mouse I posted?
Oh, the Eagles Mickey? Yes.
Yes. We've seen that. She's going to keep him and give it to me on Christmas Day, but I snuck pictures of it. She was getting it now. I said, oh, my God, two of my three favorite things in the whole world, Mickey Mouse, Walt Disney. I said, now, if they only had a place to put Mickey Mouse, the Eagles, and if they only had a little place for me to put your picture, hon, it would be my three favorite things. But you know, I couldn't believe I saw that. We were out shopping last night, so I had to take
Yeah,
pictures with
that's
it.
cool. I mean, they've been doing them for a while. I mean, my daughter had I know they did an NHL one. She has the Bruins one, and it's pretty cool, the uniforms and stuff. I mean, how can you go wrong? You just got to chuckle when you look at Mickey dressed up in your home team's colors, and it's pretty cool.
It made me very happy last night. It's a little hidden treasure. And as if, now if there's a $50 Disney gift card stuck
Be
in his little
careful.
blankie there, hey, I'm putting it out there subliminally. You know what I'm saying, Dan? Can't hurt. But no, it made me happy last
No,
night.
that was awesome. Let's see. Pizza Rizzo now open at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Finally, Disney's Hollywood Studios opened its reworked Muppet Courtyard quick service restaurant earlier in the week. Pizza Rizzo. Taking over the former Pizza Planet, the restaurant has an all-new interior and exterior, but unfortunately continues to offer very similar food and menu to Pizza Planet. Stepping inside, the ordering area has been significantly enlarged. There are now more registers and pickup windows, which should result in a much shorter wait. The restaurant has two levels of dining rooms with a central staircase leading the way up to the second floor. The second floor is the larger of the two dining spaces, split into the main dining room and Rizzo's Deluxe Supreme Banquet Hall, which appears to be in the midst of a wedding reception with music provided by DJ Electric Mayhem. The second floor dining room has a lot of seating and a variety of configurations, tables of varying sizes along with booths. The place doesn't scream the Muppets, but there are some pieces of artwork throughout the building. A large outdoor balcony on the second floor provides another seating option equipped with both ceiling fans and heaters. Heading back downstairs, there is a smaller dining space. Both tables and booths are available on the ground floor. The ground floor outdoor seating area completes the seating space at Pizza Rizzo. Pizza Rizzo is a great looking restaurant both inside and out. Although it is quick service, the quality of the space could easily have been worked in a table service setting. Almost unrecognizable from its Pizza Planet days, Pizza Rizzo has clearly been designed to handle a lot of people. With the upcoming Star Wars and Toy Story lands being located near it would appear that Pizza Rizzo is set to become one of the park's main quick service eateries. If you like the Disney quick service type pizza, Pizza Rizzo should be a must-do. If you don't like the food, it's still worth having a look around. Pizza Rizzo is open daily from 11 a.m., with closing times varying. Then they have a picture of the menu here, which it looks to me you got a plain pizza, pepperoni pizza, vegetable pizza, meat lover's pizza, a meatball sub, antipasto salad, and mini chicken sub for the kids, and a cheese pizza. And it looks like a power pack lunch of some sort. So yeah, it's a very limited menu, and it's just pretty much the items I just read. I don't know. What do you think about the? I mean, the building's beautiful, but the menu and all that stuff, Doug.
I mean, it'll be one of those things. I was hoping to be able to do this last trip. I mean, that's something I might just slide in there and grab one slice just to try it, to do a kind of
Yeah.
review. But I wish they had maybe a little bit more on there than just, you know,
Right,
pizza.
it's a, yeah.
I know it's Pizza Rizzo, but most of my pizza places serve. I mean, how about a meatball sub or something like that, then, or a sausage
Yeah, they
sandwich?
have a meatball sub, Doug. That's the one thing they did
Oh,
have.
they
Yep.
did? I didn't see that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they should have meatball sub, sausage sandwiches, maybe some pasta. I mean, more, a little bit more than what they have on that menu, from what I can
Yeah,
see.
again, I totally agree with that the menu is pretty sparse and pretty much the same as when it was its former Toy Story themed restaurant. Again, that's not a restaurant. I mean, well, I'll say it, not that I don't eat there much. I never have eaten in the I've never had the pizza in Pizza Planet when it was that, but from what I've heard, it's not very good pizza. Not that it's on that. I mean, the kids love it and it's edible. I mean, it's not like you can't stand to eat it. It's just, as we say, there's just so many other options on property or in that park for that matter that I wouldn't waste, dollars or calories eating there. But I think I agree with you. I might pop in and get a slice if you can, or, and a drink just to, check it all out and at least, haven't eaten it, so I can speak to it. But, you know, it'll serve its purpose for the kids and the families with small kids that, you know, can't afford to go to the Brown Derby. And this will be a great place for them to go and get a fairly cheap lunch that, you know, will keep the kids full and keep them, you know, traveling the parks.
I mean, it looks beautiful. One of the friends of the show did a Periscope through there the other day, and it looks really nice. It kind of reminds you a little bit, not exactly of, I know you've seen these pictures of, but one of the things it reminds me is of the Brown Derby, but they have all the pictures of the Muppets on the wall.
Yeah.
Instead of the Hollywood actors and movie stars, they have the Muppets. So that's pretty cool. And the place does look beautiful. I was talking to painters and stuff and contractors the last time about the place. So I knew it was coming soon. I was going there, actually, Mark and Jimmy, I was hoping it would be open to grab a slice, like I said. It is cool, though, that they have beer and wine in here, too. So you can get a beer and a slice of pizza. And I'm sorry I missed the sub. I didn't see that on the menu. But because it's by itself. I thought it was – I didn't even realize it was more food when you look at the menu. Was it dessert cannolis? So all the desserts is just the cannoli. But the size of this, and I'm not trying to complain because I know Dave, our buddy Dave, says all I do is complain. But somebody has to complain. We can't always be sugar and spice and everything nice.
Right.
But you're right, Dan. I mean, I can't. I want to try it. I'm not going to put the pizza down until I do try because a lot of our listeners have said, and we just read, it looks like the same pizza that they served before because that's what they were saying when they did the Periscope through there. But it's massive. This place is huge. From what I could see with the Periscope, with the two floors, there's a lot of seating in this
place. And I think as the story alluded to, Doug, I mean, they're anticipating massive crowds when these Toy Story Land and Star Wars Land open up. And if you think about the studios, you're right, or they're right. There is no place to take on those massive amounts of people right now. So they had to do this. So this is future planning. I mean, it may seem that nobody's going here only because it's so big the next couple of years, but it's going to pay off, though, when, you know, thousands of people are coming into that park that normally wouldn't in a given day, and they need some place to eat. So, it's going to be utilized, not so much now, but in the future, that place will be cranking, I'm sure.
Exactly, and I wish they would have they have some more things. I mean, they got soups and salad. They got an pasta salad. That's it. How about a nice Caesar salad? I mean, they give you a Caesar salad with the meatball sub, but how about offer me a few? How about a pasta salad? Anything else. And just a meatball sub? How about a sausage sandwich? How about some Ravs? Or I understand that you have Mama Melrose there, but this is considered fast. This is counter serve.
Yeah.
So why not have spaghetti options? I mean, maybe chicken parmesan or something other than just the pizza.
Yeah, maybe they figured they'd just get the place opened up and just stick with the menu. Maybe they have plans to build a menu out as time goes on. We'll see. But, I'd hope that they do add something going forward. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, and they do have wines and beers, and they have, like, specialty cocktails, a wild berry basil lemonade, limoncello, which sounds pretty puckering and nasty to me. And then they have a peach Bellini. But the thing of it is, it does serve beer and wine. And every once in a while, you're in the mood for a slice of pizza and a beer. So hopefully the pizza is edible. Because I know Pizza Planet's wasn't.
Yeah, well, again, it is what it is. I mean, like I said, if it wasn't new, I wouldn't even be saying I'm going to go there. I've ignored it all the time I've gone to Disney. I just, you know, we usually ended up eating at, 50s prime time or even Mama Melrose's or something like that. So, we just never, and our kids were older. You know, by the time we started going to Disney, they liked Toy Story, but it wasn't like, that was their favorite thing then. So there was no draw there for us for theme or for food, certainly. So we just never made it. But I'll definitely get there. That's going to go on my list for sure.
Well, I could see you next time, Dan. And we'll talk about this because I want to get into everything on the menu, which we'll do a little review. Maybe we'll do this in Paradiso 37 at the same time because I want to get a little more in depth about the whole atmosphere of the Brown Derby Lounge. But I honestly could see you're definitely on your next trip. Think you're going to park your butt on one of those stools and try.
Yeah.
That.
Oh yeah.
At the very least. At the very least, because I know you don't. I know you don't have the time, or you don't spend the time in the studios. You say the keeping ADR for the Brown Derby, because the studios right now are more fly by the seat of your pants kind of deal. So I could at least see you getting the time to park your butt over there. So I'm hoping to hear your review on that on your
I
next
trip. I think you talked Bob into it, and he's going to try it. So I guess I'll have to try it to keep up with the Joneses here. So I will.
Especially if you bailed on the crabless crab cake. So you got to definitely try the sliders over here.
I don't want to be in that camp again. Let's see. No. Moving right along on our list of 20 news items. Full list of Black Friday deals at Disney Springs. So it looks like Disney's really going to market Disney Springs with all those stores down there to not only the vacationers, but the locals as well. So they're on the Black Friday beating the Black Friday drum as well. Disney Springs is celebrating Black Friday with big discounts at many of the town center, marketplace, west side, and the landing stores. Disney Springs will open early on both November 25th and 26th, where over 60 stores offering sales and promotions. Starbucks on the west side will open at 7 a.m. and Erin McKenna's, Wolfgang Puck Express, Ghirardelli, Dockside Margaritas, the Daily Poutine, Marketplace Snacks, and the Disney food trucks will open at 8 a.m. All stores will open at 8 a.m. on both days, with Disney bus transportation beginning at 7 a.m. Here is a rundown of everything on offer so far. We're not going to read all these. Just know that there's 60 stores, and they have various discounts from 10% to, I've seen some for 40, 50% off, and you know, I'll just name a few. Little Mismatch, Luxury of Time Diamonds International, Pandora Jewelry, Sephora, Sugar Boo and Company, The Sunglass Icon, Lego Store, The Trophy Room, Under Armour Brand House, and any just about from this list that I'm looking at, I'm going to say most of the stores are offering some sort of Black Friday discounts if you're shopping there. So if you got to pick up some Christmas gifts while you're down there on vacation, or you're a local, you might want to head over there and pick up some stuff at Disney Springs.
I'll tell you right now, that's the only stores that I'd want to be at on Black Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm knowing nowhere near it. I'm probably going to have to stink and work on Friday. I don't know about you, Den, but being a in construction, you usually don't get off that day. That's why I'm bummed out. Christmas and New Year's both land on a Sunday this year.
Oh, yeah. Veterans Day is pretty much a holiday most people get. We don't get it where I work, but what we do is we trade it in for the day before Thanksgiving. We're actually off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for Thanksgiving.
Oh, bite me, Dan.
Oh, well, there's some advantages to working at a school like that or whatever. But, yeah, that's not bad. So we get a nice five-day weekend this next week.
Actually, Veterans Day is one of the few days we do get off. We get off Veterans Day, Christmas Day. We did get Election Day because, you know, with the union, we support the veterans, you know. Yep. So it's one of our days off. But when those holidays fall on the weekends like that, it really – I wish I could get a Friday or a Monday. I mean, you don't want to miss the – because I don't get paid for days off, so it kind of hurts when I'm off. I don't get – like, even though we were all Veterans Day, I don't get paid.
Yeah, I wouldn't be so enthusiastic about having the day off if I didn't get paid. I would agree with you there.
Yeah, so basically, I wish I had Friday off because you got the tryptophan hangover.
Yep.
And I know our buddy Pat says that's not true. But come on, Pat. It's true. If you listen to the last show, he's trying to say tryptophan's a
false. No, I've heard that. That's
really
a medical, proven medically that there's something in the turkey that does cause one to be sleepy.
He's saying it's psychological. So maybe he's the only guy on the planet that the tryptophan don't affect. So we bow to you, Mr. Pat. But I know it affects me. If it's psychologically or not, I'm tired after I eat turkey all day. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, I don't know. I wish I had it off, but I don't know. But if I was off on Black Friday, I would be nowhere near the stores around here. But if I was off and I lived in Florida, I wouldn't mind strolling over to the Boathouse or Mary Motors or one of those, or and just grabbing a beer, sitting on the water and watching the amphibious boats go up and down, the amphibious cars go up and down the water there. I'd be happy letting the wife roam through the stores, or mom, even though my wife don't like crowds like that either. But I could see you could really get some brownie points. Just go to Disney Springs. If your wife likes to shop, take her. There's plenty of places for you to park your butt and have a good day. Watch the game or chill. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's just, you know, we kind of did that on our last trip. I mean, you know, we were traveling with, the, you know, my daughter and son-in-law and, you know, different people. But, you know, everyone has different likes and you know, likes different stores. So that's the great, well, not the great thing, but a great thing about cell phones. I mean, we just set it up like, okay, you know, I'm going over here, you're going over here, we'll meet, you know, in front of this or that store at this time. And that way everyone can enjoy, you know, what they want to look at or what they want to do. Whereas I wanted to just take off and take some pictures of some of the new stuff where I knew my family would be bored out of their mind doing that. They wanted to shop or do, you know, whatever they wanted to do. So it worked out good. And there's something for everybody down there. Like you were saying, if, you know, whether it's you get something to eat or snack on or grab a beer or a drink, like you said, or just take in people watch or you know, photograph some stuff. I mean, there's so much to do down there that you don't have to be stuck all going, you know, hand in hand in and out of the same stores, because I can't take that. I mean, I'll go in the store just to, you know, keep the peace and, you know, but after 10 minutes of, you know, browsing through clothes, I lose it. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Nah, the meandering becomes enough
yeah.
for you. Well, it was like that morning that you guys left me. And you, John had to get back to work.
Yeah.
We met there that Thursday morning, and you took off. I roamed around there for a little bit talking to the – I could just see my wife if I was sitting there talking to the guys with the metal studs about the Gotham, and you know what I mean, and working there at the new – all the construction they're doing on the Hollywood – what is it? The observatory at the Hollywood – at the Planet Hollywood. She'd have been like, oh, my goodness. So I sat there talking to him about drywall, metal studs, construction, how they like working there. I mean, I was in my glory.
Yep.
And I was even having more fun sending pictures back to all my buddies at work, showing them the – I was sending them drywall pictures. They were getting so pissed off because I was supposed to be sending them food, and I'm sending them sheetrock being hung down at the observatory down there. It was
like
funny.
You said, that's why it was a different – trip for you. If you're with your wife, you would have had probably more fun, but it would have been a different kind of fun. You wouldn't have been able to dabble in that stuff that you just mentioned as much as you did.
No, I didn't feel like I was letting anybody down, because Mark and Jimmy, they got on the bus that morning and did what they had to do, and I met up with them at the studios that
right,
day.
Right, right.
So, but no, I enjoyed it, but I missed her. I don't plan on doing a ton of anything in the future like that, but it was good. The best part was, again, meeting up with you guys. We had a blast. The Laguna Bar took a lot of our money, but it was worth every penny of it.
That is true. That is true. Let's see. Next story I'm going to read here. Disney now offers e-gift cards. Just in time for the holidays, Disney is now offering e-gift cards in addition to the standard physical gift cards. You can buy e-gift cards online and have them delivered via email. Gift cards can be used at Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney, Disney's Photo Pass, DisneyStore.com, or Disney Store locations throughout the United States. These e-gift cards are redeemable directly from your phone by scanning the barcode without a need to print them. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Anybody wants to send me a Disney gift card, feel free.
Yeah, an e-gift card.
Yeah, this is to all my family members.
Now, you know what? You know where this is going. So we were kind of bummed out when they got rid of the Disney dollars to go to the gift cards that we all advocate now and we love and we recommend you use instead of the dining plan. You know, 2-3 years down the road, there'll be no more gift cards, the plastic ones we love. It will be, you will put it on your phone. And again, I know everybody doesn't have a cell phone or a smartphone, but eventually the physical gift cards will be gone, I predict.
Oh, dude, it's going that way even for our union. Yeah. I mean, we predicted this, that everything's going to be on the phone. We've been saying this. That's why Disney's offering Wi-Fi throughout the parks. It wasn't because their heart got big. It's because it's going to make them money in the future. It makes it easier. If they're sending that gift card on your phone, it's also a way for them to send you constant updates on how you should spend that gift card.
Yep, Yeah, come over here and we'll give you 10% off of here. And, you know, now a flick of your cell phone, you're just going to, you know, like we do now in some instances, if you have Apple Pay or whatever. I mean, literally, you can leave the house without your wallet, your license, just your, as long as you have your cell phone, you're good. You're going to be able to spend all the money you want.
Dude, when I roll, and what I was saying about my union, but I'll get back to that. But when I pay in cash sometimes now, because I pay in cash for everything a lot now. I that's the way I like doing it again now. And down at Disney, I do the gift cards. But I'm saying like locally, when you pay for cash for stuff, it's almost like you're being a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
I'm watching these young kids. They don't know how to make change. I'm watching.
Oh, no.
I'm waiting. I was at the store the other day. I was waiting for the kid to take his shoes off to start counting my change out. I mean, I felt bad for him, but it's like they're so used to cards and everything, debit cards, and I don't like using my debit card at the store because it's been hit before.
Yeah, yeah.
I told you the story at the Wawa where I got quadruple charge for gas on my one credit card.
Right, right.
And luckily it was the credit card. If that had been my debit card, I'd have had to wait 7 business days to get my $280 back.
Yeah, that's serious money. At least it is for me. And I couldn't afford to have that happen. So, so not to get into it. So you just make sure that you always go to the ATM and have a certain amount of cash so that you can do your business and pay for things during the day. Is that how you
exactly.
do it?
Exactly. Well, yeah, what happens with me with the businesses is if you only have when you have the card on you and you go to pay for people's stuff, you tend to forget that you paid for people's stuff, and then you give them the bill and you forget to charge them for stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now when I go, if you only have the cash you need for the job you're doing, it makes it a lot easier that way because it's easier to spend the other way and forget about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, well, every week now I do it like I did old school. I just get out the cash I need for the week.
Yeah, I mean, I know we kind of talked about this a little bit because, you know, you used to say that's how you used to save up for your Disney trips. You'd put all your change in a
still
bank
do
or whatever, and you'd have a nice little $500 hello when you're ready to go on vacation. Yeah. I started doing that, but what I figured out, because I'm not as diligent as you are getting cash out, is weeks would go by and I'd be putting no change in there. And I'm like, well, I'm never going to get anywhere this way. So I guess you're right. You have to kind of commit to it, lifestyle, and, you know, make sure that you're spending cash so that you actually get change back.
Yeah, I mean, we still use certain ones for food shopping and stuff like that.
Right.
But for my everyday spending for me,
like when you
not
get
the household,
coffee
but for
and
me.
Stuff like that, you use cash.
Exactly. I don't want my debit card. I don't want my. It was already hit once. I've heard so many people with the problems. I don't like using the debit card at stores.
Right.
So it's just easier for me to just get cash out and spend it because you never know if you're going to get hit or charged. And then this way, you're out. If the credit card, if they do it, the credit card will just freeze it.
Right.
But when you're using your debit card, if it's taken out of your bank will reimburse you if you prove that you didn't do it.
Right.
But it usually takes 7 days, and it's work on your end. Why do I want to deal with that?
Oh, yeah, it's happened to me. Somehow they got my number, and they were charging things in Chicago, and they caught it, but, you know, they had made several changes. Yeah, I think it did. It took 7 to 10 days and probably a couple hours cumulatively on the telephone, you know, going back and forth, and it was a pain. No doubt. And now they have these scanners. I don't know if you read about this or heard about it, where they can walk next to you and get your information off your cards without you having to even take your card out of your wallet.
Exactly. There are RFID readers or something like that they nail you with.
Yep. And actually, to that point, before we went on vacation, my wife bought me a wallet for herself, but she got one for me. And they now sell wallets that have some sort of blocking mechanism in the wallet sewn into the, you know, the outside of the wallet. I don't know what the material is, but it doesn't allow electronic waves or whatever into your wallet so that somebody can't do that to you. So they even have that out there to try to help with the people stealing credit card numbers and debit card numbers.
Well, there'll be Mickey Mouse on them soon, too.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be Mickey Mouse wallets to protect you.
Yeah.
It's just the point. It's just, we do a lot more union work now and all. It's just easier for me to buy my coffee and stuff in the morning and just have the cash on me instead of slinging cards everywhere, you know.
Well, as long as they keep having cash, which I don't see them getting rid of it, you should be fine to do that as long as you want. But, you know, some of these other technologies, like, you know, the gift cards for the stores, you know, they're going to go away, but we'll persevere.
Absolutely. Like I said down there, when I was going to Food and Wine, when I gave the gift card, they were all happy. But every once in a while, like, because I got so many gift cards, I don't know about you, Den, there were certain days where the gift card would run out. Like, I would, I'd say, take $100 worth of gift cards that day with me, and then I'd go to the cash.
Yep.
And when I was paying for stuff at Food and Wine with the cash, I mean, they didn't get mean or anything, but it was like, you could tell it was such a pain in the butt for them to make change.
Yeah.
It's like extra work.
It's so easy to just swipe that card, you know? It's just, they're used to it. And, even if they, the cash registers tell them what change to give. So it's not like they don't know what to give. It's just that, I got to hit the button and open the drawer and count the money.
Well, then they got to dig it out and count it in their head. And it just makes it where it's a pain for them. And the other thing is, you know how many times you asked the cast member what's left on the gift card? Because sometimes they'll print the receipt and it don't come up on it.
Right.
Yeah, and they'll tell you. So now I'm sure they want this they want this on your phone. I'm sure that'll automatically digitally read out what's left on the e-card.
Absolutely.
They're trying to alleviate any step that they can to expedite it so it's less work for the employee and easier for them to make your money off you.
Yep.
And probably to have less employees somehow.
Oh, yeah. It all trickles down to that. You're right. You know, we already talked about, you know, we use those lanyards, or some of us use the lanyards, which worked out well. And they're really just another form of the gift card. It's just on a different media, a lanyard with tabs. But same idea. It's just another way to pay for something without using cash. And it seems to be the way of the world, I guess, or down there at Disney. And now with this phone technology, I like the technology. I mean, I don't know how I feel about, you know, it'll be hard getting used to it, but I could see me using that on a upcoming trip with a e-gift card. That I would use that.
Well, Dan, if any of our, if you want to friendly send me an e-gift card at WDW Main Street Podcast, feel free, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
We'll have to.
But you know what I'm saying. It would be nice. It would be nice to try it.
Yeah.
I'm open to it.
Absolutely. Just real quick, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party sold out for Friday, which was probably last Friday, I'm assuming. But
yeah, 3 days ago.
Yeah, that's a popular party, and it's the closer we get to Christmas, although we're still a ways away, we still got Thanksgiving to get under our belt. You know, these are popular. If you're going down there, if you haven't got your tickets yet, you should. Let's see here. Mac Nutcracker Sweet Show at Disney Springs. What's this about? Waterview Park in the Landing at Disney Springs is home to a limited-time production from Mac this weekend. Mac Nutcracker Suite gives you a chance to try out the latest Mac cosmetics and see performances of A Land of Dolls Ballet. Show times are 3 p.m., 4:15, 5:30, 8, and 9:15 p.m., and then at 10:30 p.m. through to November 19th. So this is pretty much
so this
ending.
Weekend. They did a stage show this weekend.
Yeah.
The point we were trying to make with this story is pay attention to what's going on at Disney Springs now, is because they're putting on all kind of free shows down there. We were down there. There was groups and bands and different things going on. I was down there like three different times at the Springs during the trip. I popped in and out.
Yep.
And every time I went down there, there was something new going on.
Yeah, well, the first night.
So that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, the first night we were there, they had the witches down there, and they were kind of like the statue people that are in Italy. They were just standing there, and you could take pictures, and they'd goof around with you, and, you know, but there's a name for that. I've forgotten what it is, but, you know, they'd look like just a statue, and then when you went by them, they'd move, or, you know, and then once everybody saw them, we also saw, not the woman at the Animal Kingdom, I forget her name, the lady that's on the stilts there, Divine, I think her name is.
Yeah, Divine.
Yeah, well, there used to be a male counterpart for a short period of time that they released at the Animal Kingdom, but for whatever reason, it didn't go over well. They got rid of him, but he was down at Disney Springs one night during our trip, just walking around and interacting with guests, so that was pretty cool to see that, too.
we had the same thing happen. There was actually, I think, two of them when we were there, Dan.
Oh, okay.
And it was freaking us out. My godson actually has video of it. So if I can get him to send it to me, I'll try to get it posted for us because he was messing with us.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool to see that. We were getting ready to leave. We were headed towards the garage area. It was the day I did my shopping because I went to the World of Disney to do we do that every year. It's tradition.
Yep.
One of the last days we're there, I do all the shopping for family members at the World of Disney. And when we were leaving the World of Disney, headed back to the cars when we seen them roaming around out there. And it was really, really cool.
Yeah, when you don't expect it, that's just it. You know, you're cruising along in your own little world or whatever. You're talking or whatever you're doing. And all of a sudden, you know, you see these people standing around and this individual on stilts. And I don't know, or individuals in your case, you said there were two characters. But, you know, little things that they throw in like that, you're probably not going to see on a Disney Springs map or a list of, things that are happening. But you know, that's what Disney does best, things like that. And to me, that's what makes the atmosphere and just makes it cool. You might not have stood there for more than a minute or two, or maybe you did, I don't know, but just to have it there and, you know, getting a little chuckle out of it makes it I just love that type of stuff.
Yeah, we hung out there for 15-20 minutes actually, because it was Jimmy and them were into it because they never seen anything like that. Like,
right.
It was cool to them.
Yeah.
And they got their pictures taken with them and the whole nine yards, so it was really cool. So.
Awesome.
I don't know. But yeah, that's the point. Go down to the springs, and when you pop in down there, it's an event. You never know what's going to happen or go on down there. So that was the whole point of reading that story. I know it already passed, but there's always stuff going on. So, I mean, that's why I'd hang out there on Black Friday. That's the only reason.
Just
for the atmosphere, not the.
No, I agree. Let's see. Disney and Intel debut new Starbright Holidays drone show at Disney Springs. Let's see here. Cutting-edge drone technology took to the skies over Disney Springs earlier this evening, not this evening, but a couple evenings ago, as Disney debuted Starbright Holidays. The five-minute show features 300 Intel Shooting Star drones intricately choreographed in a 3D space over the lake at Disney Springs, and all synchronized to holiday music, making use of Disney's recently acquired FAA license to allow drone shows on its property. Starbright Holidays is the first time a drone show of this size has been performed in the United States. And there's a video with this. The collaboration with Intel also marks the public debut of Intel's latest drone product specifically designed for entertainment purposes, the Intel Shooting Star Drone. Designed to be lightweight, the Intel Shooting Star Drone is composed of a styrofoam body and plastics that weigh in at just 280 grams, or less than the weight of a volleyball. The purpose-built quadcopter show drone is also equipped with LED lights that can create over 4 billion color combinations and easily be programmed for any animation. With the improved software and interface, a light show can now be done in a matter of days instead of weeks or months. Additionally, all 300 Intel Shooting Star drones can easily be controlled by one computer. We are excited to work with Walt Disney Imagineering to bring a fresh, innovative approach to its world-renowned light shows, said Senior Vice President and General Manager of Intel's new technology group, Josh Walden. Together, we worked to tackle a new frontier in entertainment, picturing the sky as our canvas and flying lights as ink. We are thrilled to collaborate with Intel on this exciting entertainment experience, said John Snooty, Walt Disney Imagineering Research and Development Studio Executive. By combining our technological capabilities, we will be able to light up the sky this holiday season. Disney has been actively developing drone technology for use in its theme parks, with many patents pointing towards the goal of bringing drones to its nighttime shows. The collaboration with Intel is a first step, with Disney looking to advance the technology further with floating pixel payloads called a Flixel. Tonight, the show was a preview of what planned to be a longer show. The tentative schedule calls for 3 shows per night from November 20th, 2016 through to January 8th, 2017. Viewing areas are located along the waterside promenade between Characters in Flight and House of Blues. So, man, I would have loved to have seen this, or will love to see this when I get down there. It's pretty cool.
We will. It'll be there definitely now on our next trip, and it'll be nice to, especially the time of year, it'll be daylight savings time will be over again, and that's the only plus. We'll be able to get down to the springs at dark and be able to see it, because you're going to be down there this time next year.
Yep. Yeah, and like, you know, like they just said in the story we read, I mean, you know, this is the basic beginning. It's a simple tree they did with some holiday music, but it sounds like, you know, you're going to see full-fledged animation eventually. Like, you remember in The Lion King when he looks up in the stars and sees his father made out of the stars? You don't think that's coming?
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. All the characters are coming in. And needless to say, I think we're going to get an announcement for River of Lights very soon, too, because of all this technology going through.
We can only hope. It is great, and it's a whole new, you know, a whole new technology to bring into the parks and the shows, and it's only going to get better. So this is it is exciting.
Nighttime Spectacular coming to the springs.
And now we have a story for John. He's not on right now, but I'm sure if he read this or when he does, he'll be very happy. Epcot's Food and Wine Festival may be over, but one of its offerings is set to carry on through the holidays. Holiday Craft Beer opens today in the Odyssey Building between World Showcase and Future World, operating most days through December 30th, 2016. Along with her seasonal beers will be a selection of snacks. Holiday Craft Beer will be not be operating on November 24th and then December 1st, 1st, 2nd, 8th, and 29th. But other than that, it will be open as it was during Food and Wine. And my guess is if this is fairly popular, we may see this as just a year-round, beer-serving facility, I'm guessing.
They got to do something with the Odyssey. I don't know why they do not. We were talking about it on the last trip when we were over there, when I was getting the beer. The only thing I enjoyed about the beer was talking about what they could do with the Odyssey. I mean, wouldn't you love to see them turn it into a restaurant? Something besides just whatever we need it for. It's basically a multi-purpose building is all it is.
Yeah, they use it for conferences and different folks that come into town that are, you know, doing conferences on Disney property. If they need or have the need for, you know, like you said, facilities to do a show or have a party or whatever, that's what they use it for. And, I have no idea if it's booked most nights. I don't know. So maybe they're doing just fine using it in that capacity. But I agree with you. I mean, it's a main building in Epcot, and you would think that they would want to use that, you know, so guests can do something there, whether it's eat or go in an attraction or whatever. To me, it's being misused. But I mean, you know, those business things, I guess, are important at Disney. But I would hope to see something in there in the future. But it's always been empty since I've been going to Disney, so I have no, I'm thinking it's going to stay the way it is. I just, you know, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see anything happening there.
No, it's a shame. I would like to see it open more myself.
Yeah, absolutely. But
the wind's blowing so bad here, something just blew over on my porch. That's why I started going, what's going on around here?
You good?
Dropped it there, and I'm putting this back together now. But the reason I jumped was because a telephone pole fell in my backyard and just landed on my deck.
Oh no! Wired collar.
No, thank goodness it was. They put a new pole in about 20 years ago or 15 years ago, whatever it's been. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was one that was sitting next to it when they replaced the old. There was a new. There was an old one there.
Yeah.
And they've been supposed to take it out. And about 6 months ago, they said they were going to remove it again. And now they didn't remove it. The bottom was rotted out of it. It just fell and landed on my deck.
Any damage?
Thank God my deck was built pretty decent that the deck didn't get ruined, but I have one of these canopies that it totally destroyed my entire canopy and awning. Crushed all the metal, everything. Just destroyed it, took that out. But thank God, because it's right next to my shop.
Yeah.
Thank God, and it landed over my gate. Like, my deck sits high up in the air. So it's laying on the railings. So if I was walking out the gate, I'd have got decapitated to go out my back fence. And thank God my dog or none of the cats were underneath of it when this hit.
Wow. Did it shake the house?
Yeah. That's why I jumped and we're recording, because my deck is attached to the room that I'm recording in.
Right. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. It scared the living bejesus out of us. Everybody's okay. But no, dude. But the show must go on, right?
Yeah. Now, it's just, I know we want to move on. Now, you got to get your insurance company involved and everything, the whole nine yards.
I have to go out and look at it more. I don't know what's going to have to happen. I'm going to call the phone company after we get out of here and tell them to come take their telephone pole and charge them for repairing my deck out there.
Absolutely. They should, especially where they're on record of saying they were going to remove it for so
absolutely. Long. Or at least, I mean, to cover my canopy and all, because we have this, what I do is this canopy screws to the deck and it covers our table out there, our glass table and all. It's where we eat, you know, dinner and stuff at night.
Yeah.
If they had took out my grill, they'd have really gotten in trouble.
Yo, don't mess with the grill.
No, but God forbid, man. That just scared. That's why I jumped during the show, guys. So this is a live recording. It's recorded.
That's crazy. Let's see here. Next story. Four Park Magic Ticket offers lower priced park entry for a limited time. Disney has introduced a new limited-time special ticket offer, the Four Park Magic Ticket, which gives guests a chance to experience each park for only $70 per day plus tax. The Four Park Magic Ticket provides one admission to each of the four theme parks on four separate days. The special ticket offer may be used November 15th through May 26th, with blockout dates including December 17th through to January 2nd and April 10th through the 21st. Tickets must be used within 14 days of first use or by May 26, 2017. Four Park Hopper Magic Ticket is available for purchase through March 5th, 2017 at disneyworld.com/tickets or by calling 407-939-5277. Pricing is $279 for adults and $259 ages 3 to 9. What do you think about this, Doug?
I think it was better if it had Park Hopper included in it, but that's the only sad part of it, but I'm glad they're actually offering a lesser price ticket.
Yeah, so. And they did one of these a while back. I know we commented on it, and I'm just wondering. I mean, I believe we heard when we were down there or somewhere along the way that theme park attendance has never been better down there in Florida, so I'm just wondering why they're doing this.
Maybe things are trending. Maybe it's never been better, but it's not as good as it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? It could always be better, but it still could not be trending upwards. There might be, you know, little things they're starting to see and hear, and maybe with the stuff that's going on with the studios, maybe they're trying to make it more feasible for you to visit the studios for the day.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. But I guess, you know, it is a good deal. I mean, by and large, we broke the $100 a day barrier a while ago. So to get these at, what did they say? It's like $70 a day, $75 a day. That is a good value. I mean, it would be nice if Park Hopper was included, but nevertheless, it's still a reduced rate to see the theme parks, for sure.
Absolutely. And like I said, with the things going on at the studios, at least it's a $25 break if you want to go there for the day.
Yep. I mean, it's a little more palatable than, you know, paying full boat, as most of us do or most of us have.
But absolutely.
We'll see what happens going forward. The wine bar over there, the Wine Bar George construction begins in there's some concept art that's up on this story, but Wine Bar George, the 210-seat wine bar opening in the Landing at Disney Springs 2017, officially broke ground earlier in the week. The new concept art of the wine bar shows the 6,000-square-foot, two-story building located just behind Raglan Road across from the boathouse. As one of only 230 worldwide industry professionals certified by the Court of Master Sommeliers, George Melodos will feature wines from famed growing regions both stateside and abroad at the Wine Bar George. The location will offer an unparalleled wine list, including more than 100 selections both by the bottle and by the glass. Additionally, Wine Bar George will include a food menu featuring small plates cheese and culture, I can't say that word, designed to complement the wine list. Offerings will feature local artisans and seasonally relevant items. Opening is expected late in 2017. Yeah, I think we talked about this in an earlier show. The good thing about this, although it's primarily a wine bar, at least they've recognized the the need to offer food and cheese and meat plates and stuff, which I think will be good for somebody that might not like wine or is, you know, in there with somebody that, you know, they can still munch on some things. And I think that'll be a nice little place to go and enjoy a glass of wine if that's your thing.
Yeah, my wife would enjoy that, you know, because she likes to try different things, especially on vacation by the glass. And this way you know what you like instead of buying the whole bottle. That's one good thing about food and wine, with all the little, you can taste it and you don't feel like you're really being ripped off, like buying a $10 Le Fin de Mont and throwing it away.
Yeah, right.
So at least, you know, in the little offerings, you don't mind it if you don't like it.
Right. Let's see here. Nothing too much going on. I guess they put the holiday decorations up at the town center at Disney Springs, that big atrium, the indoor spot where a lot of the new stores are. They have some garland and lights and stuff there. So, it's another area of the parks and Disney Springs now that'll be decorated up. I know they did the Boulevard of Trees or whatever it was called, they had up, or I'm assuming they still have up there down at the spring. So there's some holidays things to look at if you're down there as well. And I'm sure it looks beautiful.
Yeah, the Trail of Trees, I think it was called.
Is that what it was?
Like that down at the springs, which, dude, I would love to see that. I like goofy stuff. I like stuff like that. You know, get you all geeked out for the holidays. Because I remember we used to drive around when I was younger going to find all the really cool houses that were decorated, like, to the nine, like, big-time decorated.
Yep.
Not just your normal one. I'm talking, like, Clark Griswold. There's about 10 of them in the area. The one guy used to have his whole garage, like, it was set up for the year, and he would have a donation box to help pay for it.
Yeah.
But his entire garage had, like, it was set up, it had, a pool in it, and he had it all decorated for Christmas where boats floated around the entire lagoon inside of his garage. But you could only come to the front of it because there was, like, a wall up at the front.
Yep.
And the way it was all decorated, you knew it was, like, a kiddie – and not even a kid pool. Like, you know them, like, 3-foot round pools?
Yeah.
He had it like that, but decorated all the way around, and they had the remote control – the boats were all decorated, and they'd motorize. It was ridiculous how he had this done. He had, like, floats going through this. He had to spend $1 million on this house to decorate it. It was crazy. But we all loved it. We couldn't wait to go to the boathouse. We call it, no pun intended, the boathouse.
Right.
But that's what it was around here. It was around the corner. It was really cool to go see every year. So I love that Disney constantly adds this stuff. And the Trail of Trees would make me head to the springs to see it.
Oh, absolutely. And, that story you were telling reminded me, because we used to do the same thing, back when you weren't on the computer all day and all this other stuff. That's the type of stuff you used to do with your family, and we'd do the same thing. And you're right, there was always a half a dozen or so houses around the neighborhood or, you know, surrounding towns or cities. And, you know, you'd go out and try to find these, and they were cool to look at. And, that's something that's been lost, I think. Although we do see some houses, but I don't think it's the big draw that it used to be.
It's called technology. Everybody has their head in the computer.
Or they're looking at drones up in the sky.
There you go.
That's pretty much all I have, Doug. Did you have a story you wanted to read, you said?
Yeah, I have a really good one.
What do you got? Oh, boy.
It's exciting to me.
Okay.
But it'll be exciting to you, too. Flavors of New Orleans arrive at Sarsaparilla Floatworks and Food Factory at Disney's Port Orleans Resort. So over at the French Quarter now, the whole food court area is open back up, and I'm excited about it.
Nice.
A hidden gem at Disney's Port Orleans French Quarter, Sarsaparilla Floatworks and Food Factory has reopened after being reimagined and has even more flavors inspired by New Orleans. Has added more flavors inspired by New Orleans to their menu, including jambalaya, po'boys, gumbo, and more. If you've seen the pictures at the Disney's Park blog, everything looks incredible, Dan. Homestyle flavors such such as create your own pasta, salad, and pizza are still available for lunch and dinner. In addition to the new flavors inspired by New Orleans, specialty burgers include a Cajun King burger with Andouille sausage, cheddar cheese, Creole mustard aioli, and a crawfish mac and cheeseburger.
Ooh.
Crawfish mac and cheeseburger. I am so going there on my next trip to get this. It's not even a doubt. That will be on the living list when we do this. You know, crawfish mac and cheeseburger. I can't get that out of my head. And if you see the picture of it, Dan, it looks awesome.
Well, I like the fact that they're actually serving, you know, traditional Southern food. I mean, boat rides, you can get it now. You know, you can get the jambalaya and stuff. But on the food court, it's pretty much all Americanized. So this will be nice that you can pop over here and get some serious Southern cooking, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And then they have enjoy jambalaya or create your own rice ball with pulled pork, catfish, or shrimp, red or black beans, and Cajun dirty or white rice. Po' boys will also be served catfish, shrimp, or beef topped with lettuce, tomato, and remoulade.
Ooh.
So I really like the idea that they give you these multiple options.
Yep, I agree.
For dinner, enjoy new entrees like prime rib, I'm in, pork rack, roasted sustainable fish, fried chicken, and barbecue ribs with your choice of sides including macho, chaos, collard greens, mashed potatoes, glazed carrots, mac and cheese, macaroni salad, and red beans and rice. I mean, everything on here looks awesome, dude. The pictures.
Yeah.
It looks like a sit-down restaurant.
Wow.
Like a counter, you know what I mean, a sit-down, not a counter service restaurant.
Yep.
New breakfast items have also been added to the menu and include crispy fried chicken on a biscuit with maple bacon jam, molasses cream cheese cinnamon roll, house-made coffee cake, jumbo sweet potato Belgian waffles topped with toasted pecans, whipped cream, and apple cranberry compote, Cajun grit bowls with shrimp and soft poached eggs, a breakfast po' boy with scrambled eggs, andouille sausage, and sautéed peppers and onions, a pan perdu, a French toast made with baguettes, and a warm fruit topping. I mean, this sounds too good, guys.
Yeah, I mean, that menu is, I mean, I wish they had that over at Riverside, but I was just thinking while you were reading that, how long has that food court been closed over at Port Orleans there?
It's been quite a while. I mean, I don't want to quote me for this, but it's been a year maybe, or quite a bit, close to it, 6 months. It seems like a long time.
I mean, I thought it was never coming back. I'm glad that it is coming back. I mean, you know, I haven't stayed there. I've always stayed at Riverside, but, I'd be bummed if I went to a vacation. And even though it's a short walk and all that, but I don't know. I'd feel kind of slighted that my own resort didn't have a restaurant, even though technically it's the same resort. We both know that, you know, when they were originally built, they were two distinct resorts. So, I don't know. Yeah. This is a good thing, I think.
Absolutely. Signature made-to-order baguettes are now available with new dripping sauce, including raspberry caramel and chicory coffee ganache. Or take your dessert over the top with a decadent hand-dipped gelato sundae in a baguette bowl. Oh, my God, that sounds good. Other new desserts include a warm chocolate caramel bread pudding and a house-made pecan pralines. Of course, no visit to the Big Easy would be complete without a Louisiana-style king cake, perfect to celebrate Mardi Gras anytime. I mean, wow. The new menu debuted yesterday on the 19th.
Nice.
Dude, I cannot. This is like at the top of my list for places to go when I get down there.
I mean, you didn't read a thing that I wouldn't enjoy, or I would say, oh, I don't think I'd like that. I mean, everything sounded delicious, and like I said, that's a very specific Southern menu that I was wanting Disney to get back to and not, you know, standardize all the food offerings. And this is something that's, like I think you said it earlier, that you're only going to be able to get this type food at this resort, at this food court, if you will. I mean, you're not going to get this anywhere else on property, most of the things. I mean, they'll still have some standard
you're
things.
Not going to get a crawfish mac and cheeseburger, I'll tell you that much, and I'm in. I mean, if you get a chance, go over to Disney Parks blog and check out that cheeseburger, dude.
I will do that.
I'm throwing Bubba Burgers on the grill today just because of that. So, but no, I'm looking forward to this. You're going to see the wave just the opposite way. Everybody from Riverside is going to be walking over there. I mean, I know for sure me and Brenda will be getting off the bus if we ever took it again at Riverside, Port Orleans French Quarter, and walking back to Riverside.
Yeah, that's good to hear, and it gives us add another thing to the list we got to try.
Yeah, the good old living list is getting longer. Hopefully our lifespans are.
Yep, we're going to need it.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be it for this show, guys. Sorry about the interruption with telephone poles coming down, but...
Yeah, understandable.
This show must go on, but guys, if you could, please go over to iTunes and leave us a review, if you really could. And we want to wish everybody out there a very happy, safe travels for Thanksgiving, guys. If you listen to this on your way, traveling to your in-laws' house, your relatives' house, to your loved ones, please be careful, please be safe, and have a magical... Thanksgiving. You agree, Dan?
Yep. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And we might have a show out before. No, we probably won't. Well, maybe. But if not, happy Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, we'll be recording it on Tuesday. I might get it out. But if this is the only one you listen to, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Please go to iTunes. Like I said, leave us a review. You can follow John at Beer Solo. You can follow Bob at It's All in WDW. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. And you can find me at Grumpy6767. Have a great week, Greg, and we will talk to you guys real soon.
Bye-bye.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. The show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.